Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to kick off the very first ever countdown for Objection, which is, of course, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery. Before we get to that, the introductions, I am David Johnson, and as usual, contrarian a-hole number two, Dan Mancini.
Greetings and hello.
Hello, and I think our work will have been accomplished on this earth if you ever open up to an IMDb page, and there, listed under the actors in the cast, is, you know, contrarian a-hole number two.
Yes.
Somebody playing that, that'd be fantastic.
My goal will be achieved if you Google contrarian a-hole in the image selection and my picture pops up.
That would be fantastic. That is the lasting legacy to leave to the kids, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't accomplish a lot in my life, son, but just take a Google image search of this real quick. So anyway, our countdown, which we've been teasing for a while here, is the first and perhaps a series, because we know that everyone loves countdowns, so I hope it becomes the traffic bait we envision, but it is the countdown for action movies that you would hate if you drive a Prius.
Right, that's correct.
So yes, we are broadly painting a picture of Prius owners who would hate the kind of action movies we're going to talk about, and why don't you describe what that is, then? What kind of action movies are we talking about?
Those that lack nuance, that have clear good and evil.
Yep, not much gray area going on.
Yeah, not a lot of gray. That have active action heroes who either seek revenge or do what they have to do to take out the villain.
They don't wait around for crap to happen to them. You know, they don't react.
They are action heroes in the strictest sense. Movies also that aren't afraid to have communists as bad guys.
That's right.
And don't invent fake Central American countries.
That's right.
Name actual Central American countries as the place for bad guys.
And most, actually a good example of this is in 24, a series that I love, but they were very guilty of this. They used to invent Islamic countries, you know? And last season, it was like the Islamic Republic, which was supposed to be a stand-in for Iran, but it was the Islamic Republic. But then, as is the case, you find out the real plot is what? The old white man cabal, and they actually named their country of Russia. So Russia was legit, but then the Islamic Republic was made up. And speaking of the old white man cabal, I hear they might be monitoring this, so we need to be aware.
I'm sure that they are.
Because as we all know, the movies that typically appear in your Hollywood theaters and would not appear on this list, the bad guys inevitably end up being the old white man cabal, the source of all evil. I believe they even have a Facebook page now. So
I think they do, yeah.
So just beware, and I think we just need to be ever vigilant as we go on this countdown, because it really threatens their way of life and what they try to accomplish.
That's the vicious irony, is really we're sort of pro-old white man cabal. You know, we kind of stick up for them, but just the fact that we mention them probably puts our lives in danger.
That's right. We're like defending. Yeah, that's our objection. Right. We're defending the old white man. You know, it's not always on the old white man cabal, but apparently Hollywood and TV and whatever, they want to tell us that it is. So, but those are the movies that kind of slide into our countdown here, and it's kind of a fluid list. I mean, I think probably until we get to the top five or so, you know, those are the ones that have really spoken to us, but you know.
Yeah, those are the ones where we'll start deciding that we're going to talk about them like more than 5 minutes before we record the podcast.
Yes, that's right. we kind of picked our first two. I mean, so the fact that, I mean, I think we're looking at a 20 film countdown here. So 20 and 19 that we're going to cover today aren't necessarily the 20 and the 19. They could have easily been 15 and 14, you know, but
yeah.
We got to start.
I think they're good candidates for 20 and 19.
I think so, too. Yeah, like I said, it starts to really, you know, metastasize, I guess, when you get to the, you know, 5-1, you know, and you know, we really thought long and hard about this. And those are the ones that'll get you kicked off the New York Times editorial page. So,
yeah.
So I guess with our old white man cabal radar going, you know, I've got a Google app here, which will alert me if we get cross any lines, the OWMC will, you know, get an alert from them. I guess we just might as well start. We have two movies that we're going to start with, 20 and 19, and that'll be our first installment. As we go forward, I'm sure we're going to draw in some guest speakers like we have in the past, but this is our get the ball rolling. So I guess number 20, we'll start with, it's not a movie, it's actually a miniseries. And it's a,
yes.
And this isn't the usual objection where we kind of take the downtrodden movie that no one seems to like and boost it up. You know, there'll be a lot of movies here that people tend to like. There's a pretty solid consensus. But it's almost like they don't make those, you know, very frequently. And the first one, widely embraced for sure, and with good reason, and that is HBO's Band of Brothers.
Yes.
I mean, even the title itself is fantastic. So, yeah. I mean, it's a sort clear male, it's a clear male delineation gender, you know?
I mean, this is an opportunity, I think. We may be able to cause people to hate Band of Brothers.
Oh.
Where, you know, there will be people driving Priuses who say, you know, based on their analysis, I think they're right. I can't like this anymore.
I need to reevaluate. Yeah, that's right. True. That's true. Well, so we'll get started. So why, Dan, I'll let you start this off. Why do you think Band of Brothers deserves to be on our list?
There is nuance in the story, but it is old school in the sense that it is presenting American GIs as good guys.
That's true.
Clearly. They're complex characters, but they're still good guys.
Yep, they've got doubts. They've got flaws, you know, but...
It's presenting the war as a noble effort.
Right.
And there's just a lot of ass kicking. You know, there are some guys in that miniseries who are all about killing Nazis.
What's so awesome about it is, I mean, these are real guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Stephen Ambrose book, I believe, right, which it was adapted from, which is essentially, you know, documenting the real Easy Company. So these are real guys, you know, and especially in the DVD set, the Blu-ray set, you see interviews with them. So it's not like these are constructs from a screenwriter's imagination. There were actual badasses who occupied these personas.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about it. That's what makes it such a great miniseries, and how it, most of the time when they turn these sorts of books into feature films, you have to take multiple characters and kind of create a composite character that experiences all these events and stuff. And because of the miniseries format, they can just skip around, and the stuff that you see happening to characters happen to these real people. They haven't had to make the composite guy who was really two different guys or three different guys. You know, it's all real individuals.
You know, and even though it is a television miniseries, it doesn't look like a television production. You know,
no.
I mean, it's staged on a grand theatrical scale. I mean, the only time where it flirts with it looking like a small budget is in the opening parachuting, you know, when they're dropping behind enemy lines, you know, and the effects are a little off. But, I mean, that's just small potatoes. That's just me being a nitpicking a-hole. It's contrary and a-hole. But beyond that, I mean... All the practical stuff that stays, you know, just the sieges, the battles, the gunfire, the explosions, which rivals anything. I mean, you know, like Saving Private Ryan stuff. I mean, that's the first thing that'll pop to your mind, you know, just the scale and the scope is equivalent to that. Typically the gold standard for World War II movie making.
It's phenomenal. And it unabashedly fawns over The Greatest Generation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I was just talking to someone about this. And again, our countdown isn't going to be two crotchety a-holes just lamenting the way of the world. But it's just amazing when you look at that. You know, a lot of the characters were so young. Greatest Generation, you're talking about 18-year-olds and over, just doing these incredible things. Man, I just look around at 18-year-olds these days. And
right.
That's a sad sight. I know I'm a crotchety old guy. I understand that. I embrace it. But yikes, I can't imagine plopping some of the clowns I see wandering around the Mall of New Hampshire, you know, in enemy territory in France in World War II. So it's such a stark reminder of, like, The Greatest Generation isn't this disposable moniker. It means something, and they earned it.
Right. Well, here's a good example of the anti-Prius thing. Is you have that moment early on where there's a whole group of – it's right after Normandy, and Easy Company is parachuted in behind enemy lines to support the landings, and they capture a bunch of German soldiers, and somebody shoots them all, or seemingly, or they disappear. But one of the soldiers thinks somebody shoots them all and thinks it's this Captain Spears, I think.
Oh, yes.
Rest of the miniseries has this kind of vibe about him.
Yep.
You know, there's all these rumors that he's just this cold-blooded badass. And he is a badass.
He is.
But it's never really confirmed whether he shot these unarmed Germans in cold blood or not.
He does a little rhetorical exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's ever come down hard and clear, but he does some like little rhetorical exercises. Well, is it possible that this story was just created?
Right. But the thing is, the miniseries doesn't really wring its hands over it very much.
Right, right.
It's more like part of this guy's character. Either he did it or he didn't, and, you know, nobody really knows. And yeah, that comes out of the book because the main guy, Major Winters,
yes,
said he had no idea. You know, when he was asked, did Captain Spears do that? He had no idea, but he said he could have. That was his response, you know. And here's how I put it. This is as un-PC as it gets, too. He was like, during his time in the Army, he met two natural-born killers. People who were just good at it.
Right.
This Captain Spears was one of them, and then the other one was Bill Garnier,
who's That's one right.
of the main characters in it and gets his leg blown off and
right.
stuff.
And they pay off Spears in a big way where yeah. – You know, I forget which episode it is, but, you know, Easy Company is just getting battered because they're being led by that political bureaucratic appointee. You know, Winter just sends Spears in, and that's a great scene where he runs right to the other side and runs right through the gunfire. And they pay him off in a big way, definitely. And the other thing, too, speaking of anti-PC, kind of going against the conventional wisdom, so to speak, again, I hope I'm not creating straw men here, but at the end... You know, there's some tension being built up because you've spent about 10 episodes up to this point with these guys. So when you lose a guy, it really you feel it. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't tell you how much I was like, "Oh, Winter, do not." You know, I didn't know Winter was alive, so it's like I don't want to lose this guy because he's the man. You know, and he is the man, by the way.
He is the man.
It is shocking to me, even when they're interviewing after him. He's just this humble guy, but. I mean, what an amazing guy. But anyway, you know, at the end, there's all that tension amongst, you know, the soldiers that we've kind of been with for this whole stretch of they've gotten their orders to go to the Pacific. And, you know, that's real tense. And the last thing you want is like, oh, man, because you know what's going to happen. But it doesn't happen. And why don't they go to the Pacific?
Because the bomb.
The bomb. That's right. The bomb. So, I mean, that's obviously we'll get into that geopolitical hornet's nest. But that's something that. You know, people say, well, if you didn't drop those, you're talking about a siege of mainland Japan with incalculable casualties, especially yeah, look at Okinawa.
Yeah, no, and that's a good one because, you know, I mean, you really do feel it in the miniseries. You really do feel the relief.
Right. Oh.
These guys must have felt because, I mean, they've been through Normandy and Bastogne and all these huge,
Market Garden,
you know,
right?
Market Garden, all this horrific combat for all this time. And, you know, the thought that, okay, they're going to get loaded up and sent to the Pacific.
Right.
When the European War is over, my mind was blown at that point.
Just and I was,
how
I mean,
exhausted
we knew.
You would be.
That's yeah. true. And we knew what was going to happen. You know, we knew that they weren't going to get shipped to the Pacific. You know, we knew that there wasn't going to be a full-scale invasion of Japan. But it still was like, holy, you know, wow, it's, I don't want to see this. This can't happen, you know.
Right.
Because there was
but
a chance.
You could really feel the weight of... The reality involved in making that decision that Truman had to make.
Right.
Yeah. This
absolutely.
Is what you're really facing.
That's you know? True. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's probably a must-own on Blu-ray. I still have the DVD set, but that's probably something that needs to be added to the collection. But certainly, yeah. Just a fantastic miniseries, one that I watched twice in a row. Watched it once with my friends and then watched it with my parents like twice in a row on a weekend or something. And
nice.
It's very much like The Wire. HBO's The Wire, where whenever I see these kind of no-name cast members from either, you know, like The Wire or Band of Brothers pop up and other things, it's like, yeah. hey, it's him. And you feel yeah. almost like you've seen a friend that you haven't seen in a while, which is a testament to, like, the quality of The Wire or the Band of Brothers, you know?
Yeah. My wife watched Life strictly because
that's right.
Dick that's Winters in it.
Dick Winter, yeah,
that's how she would put it. It's Major Winters. I have to watch it.
Got to support him for sure.
It's like it's not even a good show though.
No, probably I would have drawn the line at Dreamcatcher probably.
Yeah,
Stephen King's Dreamcatcher. So. Well, anyway, let's shift gears in a dramatic fashion now to our number 19.
Yes, number 19 is another one that may be a shock to people, but I think one that. For some less, you know, maybe less than obvious reasons, does deserve to make the list, and that is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes, and we should say that The Last Crusade and Raiders of the Lost Ark aren't on our list.
No.
As great as they are, and even though Indy was battling Soviets, Crystal Skull, we don't even want to go there, so we'll set that aside. But there's a main delineation why Temple of Doom made the cut, and those other arguably superior installments did not.
Right. Temple of Doom makes the cut because there is no white man cabal pulling the strings behind the thuggy cult.
Very simply put, that is it. I mean, it's easy to have the Nazis, right? Nazis, they're easy to make bad guys. No one likes Nazis. Doesn't make a difference. And the fact the British imperialistic swine are actually the good guys in this, right?
Right.
They come to the rescue. So yeah. No, OWMC pulling Mola Ram's puppet strings.
It's an amazing thing. Yeah, if Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon had made this movie, then it would be Cabal between British imperialists and the CIA.
That's right.
Exist at the time, that wouldn't have
or it would be like Dick Cheney's great-great-great-grandfather or something.
Or the Illuminati.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Illuminati. Another go-to, you know, like the Knights Templar are involved somehow as well. And the other thing, too, it's not high on the all religions are created equal stand either. I mean, the thuggy worship ceremony doesn't really get the whole postmodern approach, does it?
Yeah, it has the gall to draw the line at ripping hearts out of people's chests and saying, that's maybe not a good religion.
Oh, man, yeah. I think, is Temple of Doom the best in the series? No. I mean, I will not argue that fact. I mean, as a contrary a-hole that I am, and you are, we're not going to stand that. We're not going to say that Willie Scott is superior in any way to anyone. Willie Scott sucks. Willie Scott sucks. Or Short Round. As much as I may have liked him when I was 15, it's pretty tough these days.
The Goonies was one thing.
Goonies was one, yes.
You know, mucking up an Indiana Jones movie is something quite different.
This is kind of piling on a little bit, but whenever I saw him like use his kung fu to take out a giant thuggy prison guard, I'm thinking, what does a kick from Short Round actually translate into actual impact? Probably not much. Right. He was just laying these guys out. But even beyond all that silliness, and it definitely does not win any Nobel Peace Prizes for comparative religion studies.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, you got to say, Mola Rams was a pretty pretty memorable villain, too, overall in the film.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a good example of a villain who, you know, if you had the white man cabal, he would be diminished.
He'd be, yes.
A crappier villain, but he's really awesome.
That's right.
He's the man. Right. He's where the buck stops.
That's true.
He's just a total bastard.
Absolutely. And he'll loot villages for the rocks. So his own countrymen he's screwing over.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who is stealing children for slave labor.
Yes.
It doesn't get much worse than that.
And drugging them, right? Doesn't he? Right. He drugs them and he brainwashes them as well. I mean, the poor guy with the heart rip, he couldn't have been older than 20 or so. So you're taking these budding college graduates and tossing them onto the Kali Express to hell. So
ripping the guy, you know, watching his own heartbeat pulled out of his chest. And then it's just awesome that he's dropped down there. And the minute that he bursts into flame, his heart does also in Mola Ram's hand. It's awesome.
And then the other thing was, too, the whole dinner sequence is kind of fun as well, you know?
Yeah, it's not culturally sensitive.
It isn't. Like, at all. This food is – these people eat disgusting crap. Like, even when they – remember Indy and everyone, they first land at the poor village, and they're given this kind of green paste to eat, you know?
Right.
And it's obviously disgusting, but, you know, Indy's a little more diplomatic. So it's like, you know, this is more than they eat and whatever. So that's nice. But it's still disgusting. You know, we're still to realize it's disgusting. But then
you get to the very top of the chain and they're eating bugs.
It gets worse the higher you go. And it's comically bad. You know, it's like comically un-PC. Eyeballs in the soup.
Right.
The eels, the beetles, the monkey brains. So just comically bad. And then, of course, it all at the very end with the whole rope bridge scene. You know, all the evil thuggies just getting picked off one by one by the British imperialist swine. So
the white man cabal comes through.
White man cabal comes through in a positive. Yes. That's right. They were dispatched. The OWMC dispatched them. an emergency squad.
They saved the day so that Indy could take relics and put them in white people museums.
That's right.
For people to look at.
That's right. He gets the last laugh as always, doesn't he? I think that's a good start to the list. Band of Brothers and Temple of Doom, two kind of divergent movies. But I think we laid the case of why, you know, they belong in here. I'm wondering, is the average
Prius and you've enjoyed any of these in the past, then you need to rethink that.
Reevaluate your lifestyle.
Probably start hating them right away.
Not much nuance when you feed Pat Roach into a stone crusher.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I forgot about the voodoo as well.
Yeah, that's right.
The voodoo is a big role as well. So. Oh, fantastic. That's right. Temple of Doom is a gift that keeps on giving, if you think about it.
Oh, man, yeah, if that movie was released today, there would be a lot of diversity in the crowd of people protesting it.
Oh, absolutely. Religion, multicultural, everything. It would be a nuclear bomb. All right, well, with that, I think we'll bring this introductory episode to a close, and we will soldier on with our list next week. So if you enjoyed this, you know, keep with us. I think there's a lot more fun to be had, a few surprises, probably some you can – there's some obvious ones for sure. You know, I think if you thought really hard about it and you've listened to us before, you'll probably realize what's going to be in that the discussion for those top 10 or so. But
there are certain action heroes who favor headbands who are probably going to make appearances in this.
That's true. That's true. That's your hint. Headband favoring action heroes. That is your hint right now. So with that, I guess, Dan, we'll just call it quits. I didn't hear anything from the old white man cabal, so I think we've met with their satisfaction. There hasn't been any interference.
Let's hope so. If we wake up alive tomorrow, we'll know we're okay.
No black vans pulling up in front of my car. You know, the anonymous Caucasian hit squads, they're not out there. So I guess that just leaves one last thing to say.
Thanks. 10 points easy.
All around, prepare to meet Kali in hell.